I was born in Moscow. I grew up there, and Yiddish was not really spoken in my family. My great-grandparents, most of them spoke Yiddish, but by the time I was born, that was a thing of the past. And it took a trip to Kiev, and it took my running into an old Yiddish writer, the late Yiddish writer Avrom Karpinovich, who was born in Vilna, to convince me that Yiddish was worth studying and exploring in depth.
How old were you when that happened?
I was in my late teens, and I was deeply impressed by the sound of Yiddish, by the music of Yiddish, the language, and the songs that I heard, and the story behind it. There was so much, so many contradictions and ironies and tragedy and humor and warmth and amazing biographies. And it was something that at the time was not really well known in Moscow. Everyone was talking about, you know, people who were interested in Jewish culture were talking about Hebrew and the Bible, Judaism. But what about the, you know, the immediate past of most Russian Jews, which was Yiddish culture, the everyday language of Jews in Poland, Russia, Ukraine, Romania, and so on.
That was the mother tongue for many Jews who lived in the Russian Pale. And I know you wrote a thesis on the Yiddish stand-up comedy of Shimon Zigan. Tell me about that.
Again, it became with my fascination with the sound of the Yiddish. Yiddish has different dialects. And these two stand-up comedians, Shimon Zigan and Yisroel Schumacher, they were probably the greatest stars of Yiddish stand-up comedy. Their careers began in the late 20s in Lodz, Poland. And Zigan died in 1980 and performed to the end. They spoke a very interesting kind of Yiddish, Lodger Yiddish. It's very nasal. The vowels are very different from what most Yiddish teachers, present to their students. And I found it fascinating. And also the length of their careers. So much history took place between the late 1920s and 1980.
What did they do during the Third Reich era?
They spent most of that time in Kazakhstan. Oh. So they were refugees. They were imprisoned in a Soviet prison for a while. They came back to Poland in 1946, and they played in a Yiddish movie made in Poland in 1946, right after the war. Then they spent time in Latin America and Paris, and eventually they settled in Israel in the early 50s. But their humor, their jokes, really reflect much of 20th century Jewish history.
I understand they had a routine about Einstein or Weinstein, sort of a who's on first kind of thing.
Yeah, it starts, it's called Einstein, Weinstein, Einstein. You have to speak in this nasal way if you're trying to represent Zigan and Schumacher. Yes, it's about Zigan would be the straight man, the dumb one, and Schumacher was the intelligent person. And so that's how many of their jokes were constructed. In this particular routine, Zigan's character assumes that Einstein is a Jewish thief he happens to know, named Weinstein. And it takes a long time for Schumacher to explain that it's not Weinstein, but Einstein. And then once he gets that, he needs to explain the theory of relativity. it's quite funny.
It sounds great. Well, you're also going to be singing Russian songs in Yiddish. Tell us about that.
Well, I don't play seven string guitar, or at least nowhere. I'm nowhere as good at it as the other people sitting in this room right now. I can imitate a few chords. That's about it. But interestingly enough, I was exposed to seven string guitar growing up, and the person who inspired me to sing Russian songs. That's what how my engagement with singing began, through Russian songs, mostly old Russian songs from the 19th century, also Soviet songs. That person played seven string guitar. His name is Dmitry Mizhevich. He's an actor at an important Moscow theater. And he was trying to convince me to learn how to play seven string guitar, but I thought it wasn't cool enough. It was something old, something too specific that would not be recognized all over the world. So I preferred the standard six string guitar. And then I discovered Yiddish, and I started singing Yiddish songs. But I always felt the urge to bridge the two musical worlds of Yiddish songs and Russian songs. So lately I started experimenting with translating famous Russian songs into Yiddish.
Ah, now this raises a question for me. Are the songs you're singing songs that the Jews of Russia who spoke Yiddish would have sung, or is it something new? Is it a hybrid?
I do both, but there's also this hybrid variety in my repertoire. Yes, but interestingly enough, a lot of the Soviet song composers and lyricists were of Jewish background. And, you can see it immediately just by looking at the names. But what it means is that a lot of their musical experience and sort of childhood impressions were based on klezmer music and on Yiddish songs in particular. Mm. So if you start analyzing a lot of Russian songs that were created during the Soviet era, starting in the 20s and all the way through the present time, you see a lot of Jewish influence. If you look at it from a purely musicological standpoint, it's very interesting.
That is indeed. So a lot of what we would think of as Russianness in songs has a sort of a Jewish...
There is Jewishness. There's gypsiness. Russia is a great culture, in part because it has so many different elements and influences. I think I will sing we just spoke about Polish Yiddish culture.
Uh-huh.
I'll sing a song written by a Polish Yiddish songwriter from Krakow. He died during the war. This is a lullaby. The thing is, I'm staying at a house here in Iowa City, and I promise, there are two children in the house, and I promise to sing them lullabies every evening. So I have to practice one for tonight. This is a very sad lullaby. So I'm kind of glad they can't understand the Yiddish, because it ends sadly. But it's beautiful. It's a mother singing to her child, to her little son, and she tells him, "I don't know where your father is, but I'll buy you a little horse so that you can ride on this horse all around the world to look for your father. And who knows where your father is? Maybe he found a different woman, or maybe he's dead, God forbid." And then in the last stanza, she tells her son, she promises her son to teach him Kaddish, which is the Jewish prayer for the dead that children say after their parents. So
And this was written during World War II?
This was written before World War II.
Okay.
So probably in the 1920s or thereabouts.
Okay.
Kleins, die Egel redeine macht zu. Die Mame wird käufen auf Erde la Scheins, nor schlof gemirai, lululu. Die Mame wird käufen auf Erde la Scheins, nor schlof gemirai, lululu. Auf Erde la Scheins wird kosten viel Geld. A wegele euch auf meine Wort. Du wirst kennen vorn a Ruhm in der Welt, aber suchen dein Tate sie dort. Du wirst kennen vorn a Ruhm in der Welt, aber suchen dein Tate sie dort. Dein Tate, mein Kind, is lang schon weg, a Briefel geschrieben nicht mehr. Gefindst du ihm dort, dann frage, moi frag, sie liebt deine Mame nicht mehr. Gefindst du ihm dort, dann frage, moi frag, sie liebt deine Mame nicht mehr. Sie hat vergessen, sein Weib und sein Kind, a zweite Vertret dort mein Ort. Sie öfter cholile, oi weis mir ohne Wind, gestorben dein Tate sie dort. Sie hefscher cholile, oi weis mir ohne Wind, gestorben dein Tate sie dort. Ei lululu, schlof, mein jingele kleins, a josemele nebech bist du. Ich will dich lernen, Akadisch, Aschens, nor schlof, gemirai, lululu. Ich will dich lernen, Akadisch, Aschens, nor schlof, gemirai, lululu.
That was beautiful. Yuri Vedenyapin singing a lullaby written in Yiddish in Poland in the 1920s. Yuri, I think in American culture, Yiddish is often a language of comedy. The Yiddish loanwords that run through the English language in America very often have a sort of comic element to them. And yet what we heard and what one often finds is very deep emotion. Could you talk about that?
Well, I could say that one of my Yiddish teachers in America, Dr. Mordechai Schechter, who was one of the leading Yiddish linguists. He died a few years ago. I remember one of my first classes with him, and he was telling with great insistence and fervor to his students, remember, despite what people will tell you, Yiddish is not a funny language. No language is inherently funny. It's only as funny as you make it, or as tragic as you make it or life makes it. And there's certainly enough of tragedy and poignance in Yiddish.
Which we just heard. That was incredibly beautiful, Yuri. I don't know if you're prepared to sing more for us, but we'd certainly welcome it, if you don't mind.
I could... That's a great question. I could... try another lullaby.
Okay.
If you're not yet falling asleep.
No, the opposite, please.
Okay. Let me see. All right. Let me move to the right position.
I'll comment on the moment when Yuri is ready to play.
Okay.
I think he's almost ready. You know, I I'm just amazed that I was able to find such a treasure. When I was about the age when Yuri discovered Yiddish for himself, I also was very interested in the Yiddish culture and everything Jewish, and that was the Soviet time when people were put to jail for teaching Hebrew, for example, and there was absolutely no materials on Yiddish. There was no way to learn it. Actually, I found some published music, but and I fortunately took a couple of Hebrew lessons and I was able to read. But I had to ask my grandmother what does it mean. My grandmother knew quite a bit of Yiddish, but she couldn't read because girls were not taught necessarily.
Yeah, so this was in Moscow.
Yes. So Yuri is considerably younger than me, and I just see in him, some sort of embodiment of my dreams.
Well, Yuri, it sounds like you might be ready.
I'm ready, yes. And I think that what I'm going to do is sing a different song, since Oleg mentioned studying Yiddish, learning Yiddish. I remembered this. It's probably, it would be a good candidate for the most famous Yiddish song, which sounds awful because everyone must be pretty sick of it. But actually, I still love it. No matter how many times I've sung it or heard it, I love it, and I find new ways of singing it and experiencing it every time. And I also sing it in different dialects to add even more variety. It's called Offen Pripichik, and it's a song about Yiddish. It's a song about the Cheder. A cheder, which is an elementary Jewish school, traditional religious school, where little children come to, they begin by learning the alphabet, the Aleph base, which only has 22 letters, but it's still quite a task to learn it well. And then you go into reading five books of Moses, and then you learn the rest of the Bible. And eventually you graduate to the Talmud. But this song is about learning the letters and about how much weeping these letters contain. So, which sounds awfully sentimental, which, you know, it's a charge that Yiddish culture has faced for a long time, being overly sentimental. Isaac Bashev, a singer who wrote in Yiddish and often took part in translating his own works into English, would say, when you translate from Yiddish, you have to lower the temperature. And it's probably true. Hmm. This song, I will probably sing it in the Polish Yiddish dialect. I recently sang it with Hasidic children who spoke that dialect. So I'm now.
Offen Peripichek brennt a Feuer. In den Stieb is heiß, in der Rebbe lernt kleine Kinderlach, daheim alle weiß. In der Rebbe lernt kleine Kinderlach, daheim alle weiß. Sucht je Kinderlach, gedenkt je Teiere, wo's er lernt du. Zug je noch amul, in take noch amul, kumetz alefu. Zug je noch amul, in take noch amul, kumetz alefu. Lernt Kinderlach mit grois chayshek, azoi zugi chaychun. Wer sved gicher finaych kennen ivre, der bakim tafun. Wer
Gerse ved gicher fin eich kenne nivere der bakim tafun. Lernt kinderlach, hat nit moire, jeder unhei bis schwer. Glücklich der, wo's hat gelernt teure, sie darf der Mensch noch mehr. Glücklich der, wo's hat gelernt teure, sie darf der Mensch noch mehr. Zog je kinderlach, gedenk je teure, wo's ihr lernt du. Zug je noch amul, und take noch amul, kumet alefu. Zug je noch amul, und take noch amul, kumet alefu. Az ihr wird kinderlach dem gules schleppen, aus gemietet sein. So Tier, find ihr euch jetzt koyach scheppen, kickt in See rein. Sollt ihr find ihr euch jetzt koyach scheppen, kickt in See rein. Sucht ihr Kinderlach, gedenkt ihr Teiere, wo's ihr lernt, du sucht ihr. Noch amol, in take noch amol, kumet alefu. Zug je noch amol, in take noch amol, kumet alefu.